Hello, good morning. Sorry, I've got a little Bluetooth thing for someone and it's not working properly. So Tavis is good, it's Peter Corney's. We'll see if we can make it work and then put it back on there. Christ is risen. Good morning for everyone who is here with us today. My name is Liz. I am one of the ministers here at St. Hills and it is wonderful to be with you. Christ is risen. But here's the question I want us to consider this morning. What for? It's a question I like to apply to a lot of things in life, pretty much anything and everything. What's the point? What's the purpose? What for? For what reason is he risen? I feel like it's a good question to help us remind ourselves of why we are here today. Why are you here? What are you here for? A family member or a friend? Childhood ingrained religious guilt? Because there's something stirring in you that thinks that maybe there's something to this whole God and Jesus thing? Because going to church on Sunday is just a part of your routine these days? Because the moment in history that we celebrate in Easter, at Easter, has had a profound impact on your life? Whatever your reason, that's okay. We're very happy that you're here to celebrate with us this morning. Because you see, that first Sunday morning of the resurrection of Jesus was the most important thing that has ever happened in human history for our relationship with God. The weekend that creation was put right with him, and the endless possibilities for healing in the world and good and beauty were set into motion. And so here's where the story starts for us in our reading this morning. The suspected Messiah went to the cross just days before. He has been buried in a tomb. And then the Sabbath arrives, so no one's allowed to do anything. And his disciples and those who followed his movements with interest are now scattered or holed up together, hiding for fear of being brought in by the authorities for their association with Jesus. And yet a group of women who, if you haven't read the rest of Luke's gospel, happens to include a number who have previously been listed as those who were helping to support them out of their own means, them being Jesus and his disciples, head towards graveyard. What for? Well, the purpose was to grieve, to bring spices to put on the body of the crucified Jesus. They had lost their teacher, one who had healed them, cast demons out of them, treated them almost as equals, and actually as equals. But instead they find something unexpected. A closed tomb with guards, what they expected to find, no. They find the tomb open, the stone rolled away, and the supposed guards seemingly nowhere to be seen. And then, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. So let me stop here and tell you a little bit of the story of Mary Magdalene. What for? Because she was one of those women, and she was, according to John's gospel, the first person, male or female, to see the risen Jesus. And because Mary's role in this moment in history has so much to show and tell us about the right way up Kingdom of God. And over the years, Mary Magdalene's role as disciple of Jesus, first evangelist of the full gospel of God, has been shaded with ideas of ulterior motives. In an Easter sermon preached in 591 by Pope Gregory, she became a catch-all for about three or four different women. She was added to having also been the repentant prostitute where Jesus said, who we would say that sin cast the first stone, not actually Mary Magdalene, that was another woman. She's also been brought together with the woman who pours over oil over all of Jesus' feet. That was a different Mary. In the Da Vinci Code by Dan Brown, he decided that she was Jesus' secret lover and they had a child. And in a 2018 film that I only saw because a friend got me an invite to the world premiere at the National Gallery in London, she becomes a major cause of disunity and envy among the disciples. But when you dig deeper into the story, there is something about this woman. She has listed in Luke 4, as a woman who had previously had not just one, but seven demons that Jesus cast out of her. She is listed by name in that same space as one of the group of women who helped fund Jesus' ministry from their own means, not their husband's money, not their parents' money, their means. Very rare for that time and day. And she was the first person to see the resurrected Jesus. There is something about this woman. And hundreds of years of power-hungry patriarchy have sought to downplay the role that women played in the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of the early church, but no one can deny the role that she played here. She is mentioned by name in every gospel at this moment in the story. The woman who was so devoted to her Rabboni, teacher in Aramaic, that even when he was put to death, she went out early with a few other women on the Sunday morning to buy spices in order to put them onto Jesus' body, even though they actually had no idea how they were even going to get into the guarded tomb to place them. And they find the tomb empty. And angels appear and remind them of what Jesus had said to them as they journeyed with him in the weeks before. And so this group of women return to the place where the disciples are all holed up, the 11 and the others. It's more than just the apostles, and they tell them what they have seen. And almost everyone just completely disregards their testimony as nonsense. But Peter. I love how Peter always gets it so right and so wrong all at the same time. It's such an encouragement to us that it's okay when we make mistakes if we get it wrong. But Peter, here he's the one that hears the women's testimony and thinks, I think I have to see this for myself. It's not quite actual belief of what they've seen, but it's not complete disregard, so he's taken a step forward. And I really want to spend a heap of time here with you unpacking how women's testimonies weren't fully valued in that culture, and that's why this is such a powerful moment, how Jesus gave space for women in a way that made so little sense culturally that much of the church continued to disregard their equal status as humans in the kingdom of God for millennia, and explaining as well how this passage and all that Jesus does for us is all about the beginning of the return to Eden, the garden with God and equality for all humanity. But I don't have a lot of time. So right here, I want to apologize profusely to any of you, especially the women, because as a woman, I've been there, for the times where you've been treated like you are not equal, and especially not equal in the church or the kingdom of God. For all are one in Christ Jesus. And I only have so much time, so I'll leave those thoughts there. And if you want to explore any of them, then I would love to chat with you sometime. You can always come and talk, unless the child is crying, in which case I probably need to deal with her. But for today, our message is this. Jesus came for all the world to save us from ourselves, and his resurrection is the moment that changes us and it all. What for? Because Christ's resurrection brings forth the kingdom of God. And what is that? Because I feel like sometimes we use terms in churches as if everyone knows what it is. So let me unpack that for a moment. Because the kingdom of God is the place in which God himself is king over all, where human kings and worldly powers are no longer the ones in charge, but where we, as his people, turn our eyes, our minds, our hearts towards him, the creator, and acknowledge him as such, and seek to live in a way that is befitting of this truth. Because Jesus' resurrection brings back into being this upside down kingdom, or right way up, where all are welcome to enjoy a new way of life, all are equal, and everyone is important and to be valued and loved. And this good news is ours to share, not to keep withheld within the walls of this building today. And so I want to leave you with an encouragement this morning to share this good news, perhaps through the story of how it has changed your own life, or just through the simple truth of Christ resurrected, through the right way up of the upside down kingdom of God. Well, what for? Let me reread the end of Luke 24 with you. While they were still talking about this being what had happened earlier in the morning, as well as the road to Emmaus, which if you missed that part of the, you can hear that tonight from Adam. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of fish and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things." If you believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead for the sake of the whole world, then you are witnesses to these things. And our purpose as believers is to share what we have seen with those who are yet to see. This upside down, right way up kingdom, where all are equal and brought together under God. And if you are here and are yet to encounter the one who is way, truth, and life, if you'd like to know more, please speak to anyone who is sitting around you. We'd love to pray with you this morning if there is something that you are seeking. And we'd love for you to join us at Alpha, which starts in a few weeks, where you can learn more about who this resurrected Jesus is. So let me pray for us all, and then Gwen will come to continue to lead us in prayer.